Next case for argument, Booker L. This is Prison Superintendent, Mr. Kennedy.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Andrew Kennedy, Jenner and Block, on behalf of Plaintiff Appellant Samuel Booker L. Your Honors, this is a very straightforward case dealing with the sole issue of whether the district court erred in concluding that Mr. Booker L. did not have a property interest in Indiana State Prison's Inmates Recreation Fund, and therefore dismissing the case. It is our contention that the district court was in error because Mr. Booker L. did have a property right in the money deposited in that fund, and he could not be deprived of that money.
And what is his property right? I mean, what is his share of the fund? Or I get it.
As an inmate in Indiana State Prison, it's our position that Mr. Booker L. has an interest in the opportunity to share in the benefits.
In the sense that he'd rather have the money spent on prisoner welfare than on cameras. But how does he know whether he would derive any benefit if the money were used for something else?
He doesn't know that he personally would necessarily...
So what's the basis for his suit?
Because as an inmate in the institution, all inmates have the opportunity to benefit from the fund, and if the fund isn't spent for the benefit of any of the inmates, then he is deprived of his share of that opportunity to benefit from the fund.
You know what his share is, right?
Not directly, no.
Lost opportunity is, we don't know what the money would be spent for.
We don't directly know what it would be spent for, but given the list of permissible expenses, the non-exhaustive list that's contained in the statute, most of the expenses are of the type that would have benefited all inmates, or at least there would have been a substantial probability that Mr. Booker L. personally would have benefited from the proper use of the fund.
The prisoner or the state is under no obligation to expend the funds at all.
No, the state is not under an obligation to establish the fund. However, the state did establish the fund, and in doing so...
No, I said to spend.
Oh, to spend the fund? No, not necessarily. The state, theoretically, I guess, could sit on the fund. But then again, that also would not be spending it for the direct benefit of the inmates. So at some point, the funds would have to be spent for the benefit of the inmates.
Counsel, the legislator did not define the term benefit in this statute. What's your position on the definition of the term benefit?
I think that the term benefit is, there's some guidance on this issue by the list, the non-exhaustive list of permissible uses of the fund that was established in that statute. Other non-capital inmate recreation type expenses that I think that other expenses in line with those would be what would be determined to be for the benefit of the inmates. And I think that also needs to be read in tandem with the fact that all of the uses that are permissible have to be those that are not otherwise covered by state appropriations. So just because something could potentially at some point down the road pose some benefit to the inmates, that does not necessarily mean that it's a proper use of the fund either. The two requirements for the creation of a proper...
Stop. I mean, is it your view that a prisoner can bring a lawsuit that says the guards, the warden, what have you, they're stealing money, and as a result, you know, our cells are dirtier than they would be otherwise because they're not spending money properly?
No, I don't believe so.
The courts would be monitoring all expenditures made by prison officials.
No, it's not our position that every single expense made by institutions...
Why isn't that the logic of it? The money is supposed to be spent on, proper prison facilities and so on, and suppose it is a result of... Suppose they take the regular appropriation, use it to buy cameras, which they take home, and as a result of doing this, they don't replace broken toilets, they don't replace broken window panes, and as a result, the prisoners are treated even worse than the state wants them to be treated, right? Why wouldn't that be the same case as this?
Because other statutes don't have that same language vesting the right for the direct benefit of the inmates. The other statutes don't necessarily directly say that the money...
So what? What difference does that make?
Because the mandatory...
First, if they were appropriating the money that was spent for basic services for the prisons, I mean, if they appropriate for improper purposes, what if they said, well, actually, we want to buy these cameras and we computers we want to have at home, and so we can stay home and monitor the inmates' movements from home, and we can watch movies and so on. We want to do that. So as a result, we're just going to feed the prisoners twice a day, right? Because we'd save that money and use it for our cameras. Now, wouldn't that be worse than what they're doing here?
It may be worse, but it's not something that was directly contradictory.
What's the logic of having a remedy for the less worse case, but not for the worst case?
Because that would be an issue dealing with the state budget and state appropriations, whereas this is a right that was conferred directly on the inmates.
I don't understand that at all.
Well,
isn't it worse? Isn't it just as bad to be steal? Whether the money is used for recreation or for heating or food, why should that lead to a different legal result?
Because this statute deals with money that's...
They have to feed the prisoners, don't they?
Yes, you do, but I think that would be an issue of the state budget, not of a right that was vested in the inmates.
Does that make any sense? Or is that just some strange legal formalism?
I think that's just the way that the would have to do with
the
Indiana legislature.
But it doesn't make sense, right?
I don't think that it would be right either for them to do what you propose, but I think that would be a different issue, and that would have
Why?
To be an issue with the Indiana legislature.
Why?
Because that statute doesn't necessarily...
Senseless or what?
What's that?
Because law is senseless? Is that the idea?
Perhaps. I can't say for certain. I believe my time is up, so I would just urge that this court reverse or remand for further proceedings because Mr. Bookerell does have a property interest in the Inmates Reparation Fund.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Ms. Rogers?
Good morning. May it please the court. To answer your question, the inmates have no interest, no property interest in the Inmate Trust Fund for several reasons. First, as you pointed out earlier, there's discretion in this statute that's left up to the superintendent. The money doesn't ever have to be spent, like you had suggested earlier. And beyond the money not being spent, or what Mr. Kennedy suggested, that the money eventually would have to be spent, that's actually not true. Because if you look at Section 11 under the same chapter, the money can be transferred from the Prison Recreation Fund to another facility that's created under Section 6, which is also a mental health facility. And there's one other facility that's created. So the money doesn't have to be spent to benefit inmates at all. But if it is spent, it does have to benefit inmates. But this does not create a property interest because there's no legitimate expectation on the behalf of the inmates. Second, the inmates have no property interest in the interest on their trust accounts, and interest on their inmate trust accounts funds this fund. So that's another part of the statutory scheme created under this entire chapter section that says that there's no interest on behalf of the inmates. The accountability statute under Section 9 suggests that the state of Indiana owns the fund, not the inmates, because to the extent the money is either used, misappropriated by officials, they would have to personally repay the money. To the extent it's lost elsewhere, a general performance bond would replace the fund. The inmates don't get any of that money. Additionally, unlike the inmate trust account, when the inmates are transferred from facility to facility, the trust account goes with the inmates. This recreation fund, a piece that would be carved out for each inmate, it doesn't follow an inmate from facility to facility, and each fund is maintained by a facility specific. And finally, I mean, looking at this logically, there's been no mechanism. The General Assembly didn't put a mechanism in this statute that would accommodate the interests of every inmate at every facility in the state. There's 30,000 plus inmates. There's over 2,000 inmates just at Indiana State Prison alone. if each inmate were to have a property interest, how would that property interest be addressed? It wouldn't be. It couldn't be, practically. So when Indiana legislature drafted the statute, they did not do it and vest a property interest in the inmates. If this court has any questions.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Rogers.
Thank you.
Kennedy, your time has expired, but you can have another minute if you have anything further you want to tell us.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would just like to draw the court's attention to the case that is most on point with this one, which is the Fifth Circuit's opinion in Eubanks, in which the Fifth Circuit, in a very similar fund that had far less mandatory language than the fund at issue here, recognized that such a claim was not frivolous on its face and remanded it just as we're asking this court to do. That's the one case that's the most similar to this one. And in that case, the court did recognize that there was a right in that fund.
Counsel, how is the Eubanks decision applicable in this case when Eubanks did not analyze the relevant statute pertaining to the recreation fund in that case, but instead the district court dismissed the case on the grounds that the statute was frivolous, that the case was frivolous?
Because both courts dismissed the case on the same general grounds under 1915 for failure to state a claim or frivolousness. It's the same statute, the same reason they dismissed it. And in that case, the Fifth Circuit remanded it for the proceedings, just as we're asking this court to do. So I think the fact that there is that mandatory language and that there is a statutory framework indicates there is a property right, and we ask that the case be remanded.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel. And our last case.